All right, I want to greet you all this morning in Jesus' precious name. It's a blessing to be here with you all again. Remember those traveling and those that are sick. Right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you, God, for your goodness and your mercy. And just ask your blessing, Father, on this time together. Lord, we ask that you'd fill us with your Spirit. Give us wisdom, Father, as we open your word. Give us wisdom as we live our lives, Father. Lord, we just ask you'd help us be faithful. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Let's open our Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 4. I'm just going to read a few verses here, and what I want to just begin in verse 9. This is Brother Paul written a letter to Timothy and just sharing his heart with him. And it says, make every effort to come to me soon, for Demas, having loved this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia and Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Pick up Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for service. But Tychicus I have sent to Ephesus. When you come, bring the cloak which I left at Troas with Carpus and the books, especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. The Lord will repay him according to his deeds. Be on guard against him yourself, for he vigorously opposed our teaching. At my first defense, no one supported me, but all deserted me. May it not be counted against them. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, so that through me the proclamation might be fully accomplished, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was rescued out of the lion's mouth. What I want to get from that this morning is just kind of use that as a thought of how even Paul had people that disappointed him and let him down. But I want to point out that he asked that not be held against them. And that's just such a blessing that we have this idea of what is right and the way things ought to be. And I guess that's really my thought this morning is about our own perception of things and how they are, and how oftentimes our perception of things is distorted, and reality hits us, and a lot of times that's a time where we get discouraged and want to give up, because reality actually hits us, and it's so far from what we had in our own mind that it's discouraging and depressing. And I just wanted to take from this that Paul had people that actually were out to get him, and some people that were just his friends. He talked about Demas has forsaken me. You know, a lot of times our problems aren't we have a friend that just forsakes us or is trying to undermine us, but a lot of times in our own minds we're so sensitive sometimes that when someone says a little something wrong or doesn't do just the way we have perceived in our own mind, that feels like a betrayal to us, and it really discourages us. That perception of different things is very deep. I just think about the idea of a paradigm shift. You know, a paradigm shift is whenever we have things figured out, and for example, the whole world at one time thought that the earth, everything revolved around the earth, as in science. Well, when it was discovered that the earth actually revolves around the sun, there's just the light bulb comes on, and just the whole world, just everything is shifted then in our mind, so that we have to look at everything and think of everything in a different perspective. That's a paradigm shift. Humanity has the paradigm shift that the whole world is basically revolving around them. And a paradigm shift is whenever we realize that we're just a little tiny dot in this world, and the whole world revolves around something bigger than us. And in Christianity, you know, I guess what I'm trying to say is that many times our thoughts are so fixed on a certain idea, it's just hard for us to grasp that there's a bigger world out there than what our little mind has been able to get a hold of. And it usually humbles us and corrects us and brings us into perspective. Many times a paradigm shift in spirituality usually I've just read about three different things that it usually is. It's about tradition, rejection, or legalism. And we usually get our minds focused on all of those things, and just that's all we can see past. We can't see past anymore of that anymore. And so our perception is revolving around the way we understand things. Whenever we become Christians, or we start to understand Christianity, and we start to face things in reality and have to make choices, a lot of times, especially people coming from the outside, or coming from that wasn't really necessarily brought up in Christian homes, they have this perception of a Christian. And it's their image of Christianity that they think is going to start unfolding before them. And so they start living the Christian life, and pretty soon it's not what they thought it would be. It's just all twisted and turned around and comes at them in a completely different perspective. I've shared the story before, oftentimes, about how my perception, whenever I dedicated my family to the Lord, my thought was that they'd all just be following the Lord and we'd be rejected by the world. But that was just completely destroyed of what I thought Christianity would be. You know, whenever I just remember that I just thought if someone would just really give themselves to God and obey and just do His will, everyone would just kind of think that, wow, there's finally an example of somebody being a Christian that I can just, you know, whenever I was starting to follow the Lord, there just wasn't hardly anything around Christianity, especially where I was at and the circles I was growing up in. You know, it's just ho-hum, you go to church on Sunday, and a revival was a week of meetings where they talked about Revelation or something. And, you know, at best, there would be somebody get up and really get excited in church. But that was basically the limit of what Christianity was. And so I thought, you know, if whenever I started following the Lord, I just thought, you know, there's more here. And I was excited about it. And I just thought all people needed to do was hear. And they'd get excited too. And the reality was is that people were perfectly content to be where they were at. I told about going knocking on doors. I went to half the doors in Monette with this message. And I went to half the doors in Monette before anyone even invited me in to talk about it. They didn't want to hear it. They were content with their religion. They were happy with what they had. And it was very discouraging and disappointing. It wasn't anything like I thought. I thought, you know, I thought the world was just waiting for someone to come and tell them the gospel. And then they'd all jump right in and start wanting to follow the Lord. Well, I quickly realized that, not quickly, it took a while, but I soon realized that that's not the way the world is going to receive the gospel. It's not going to be just done because someone just goes and tells the message. And so what I'm talking about here is this shift that has to happen in our minds about how things are and how things really are and what it means to still keep on following the Lord. And that's what I guess just building on faith is this. Our perception of the church, our perception of Christianity, is probably going to get destroyed before we can ever really trust the Lord. If our perception of things is never challenged, we just are content to ride along in this path of our own religion, our own tradition, or whatever it is, and there's no real challenge to it. It's what we've got in our mind. But whenever we really start seeking the Lord, one of the first things the Lord does is slaps us up head with reality and tries to get us to see that it's not our tradition or what we think or our perception that matters, but it's our trust and trusting in Him. You know, one of the boys mentioned something about unlearning. And I've shared that often about how many times that we've had to unlearn something that we thought was just the way it was. And I've spent most of my Christian life, and that's probably a good description of most of my Christian life was unlearning what I had been programmed or what I had allowed my own mind to see or believe or think. And over and over again, I've had to unlearn something. But right there is where most people are unwilling. It's hard for us to unlearn. We're stuck in this, you know, until there's an overwhelming, like the earth, until there's just overwhelming evidence that the sun was going around the earth. No one was willing to even think anything different. But then once the mob began thinking that way, then everybody just joined in. And that's the real paradigm shift. It's not because the mob shifted. It's because our heart has shifted. And that's the whole difference, is being willing to be open to let God guide us and actually trust in Him. The Bible verse, you know, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. Just heard examples of people that come out of the world's Christianity, and they get into a plain setting and they have just this perception of Christians and being a part of a Christian church. And they get all involved, and pretty soon the church just starts to push its heavy hand down on them and tries to manipulate and mold them into something that they want them to be. And pretty soon people get disillusioned and they begin to get discouraged because their perception of something wasn't what the reality really was. And it's amazing how many people give up and quit because their one or two experiences just wasn't what they had in their own mind as how it should be. That's where what we're doing, what we're trusting what's in our own mind instead of what's in God's mind. That's where the change is. And that's where why most people fail, because their faith wasn't really in God. Their faith was in what they perceived God to be. It's just how many times people, and I've seen it over and over again, people just get so discouraged because someone failed them. You know, it's so easy for us to have this perception or expectation of someone else and they fail us. And we get discouraged, we get disappointed. And the real problem is we were trusting in them instead of trusting in God. That's why it was so devastating to us. Our faith was in something other than what it needed to be in. I've seen that over and over again about how people get discouraged and depressed and just give up. And it, whether it's on a church or whether it's on... Yes, that's what I want to have us distinguish, the difference between faith in the Lord and allowing Him to control our lives and to trust Him with our lives, or to have our faith in an institution or in a group, even good groups. We can so easily be disappointed by someone. Well, we're trusting in our expectations and in our hopes, but we're not having faith. People will let us down. They will fail us. Brother Paul saw that. But he didn't hold them accountable for it, because he knew what was in man. He knew that he was capable of doing the very same things that they were doing. He knew that at some time or another, he had failed people. But his faith wasn't in his performance or other people's performances or their church or their doctrines or all those things. His faith was in God. That's what carries, that's the only thing that will carry us through. You know, if I would have been trusting in my decision to follow the Lord instead of following the Lord, I would have gotten discouraged a long time ago. I think a lot of times, you know, the Lord, that's why he allows things to happen and sets obstacles in front of us to show us whether we're going to trust in him or we're wanting to have our own thing. And that's where that paradigm shift comes from, that it's not about me. It's not about everybody around me. It's about God and trusting him. We're so indoctrinated a lot of times with Bible verses. We were just talking yesterday about faith and works and how many people are so tripped up that by grace, those words that have been hijacked in Christianity. Grace, we're told that it's unmerited favor. But that's the definition of mercy. Grace is God's ability, God's gift to us, ability to do what he wants us to be and to be what he wants us to be. Faith, people, the argument is, that if by faith is just believing that Jesus died for us and everything will be okay because of that. I learned these, and that's how I was taught. But there was just always something that just wouldn't quite fit. The Methodist and the Baptist always fought back and forth about whether you could lose your salvation or not. And people would just argue about it all the time. Whether there was a way to lose your salvation after you were saved. And then the argument, you get a little deeper and it's, well, can you do anything? If you do anything, you're taught that that's works, and so you can't be saved if you're trying to do anything. But when you read the Bible, that's not what you see. You see people who loved God, they obeyed him, they did his will. And then, you start going that way as a while, and pretty soon you find out that there's people that obey God and are trying to seem like it pleased him, but yet they have no faith. There's a lot of people that can walk the walk and talk the talk that are as faithless as a grain of sand. It's just not there. Faith is our response to God's claim on our life. Our faith is our willingness to trust God even when our own eyes are telling us something different. Even when our own mind is telling us something different. A lot of times people take the Bible and they've got a way to explain everything. The Bible is showing us the character and heart of God. You might be able to prove all kinds of things by the Bible, but if you miss the character and heart of God in all of that, then you've missed the whole thing. There's people that trust that Jesus had to die so God could forgive us. But you look through the whole Bible and you see God's mercy and God's forgiveness. Sure, he got to the point in the places in the Old Testament where people had gone so far there was no hope for them. And they were destroyed. But he was always looking for that person or that small little group of people that were still trusting him. We talked about Abraham. God wouldn't destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, that most wicked of all cities. Just because there was a few faithful people in there, God wouldn't have destroyed it. But he didn't find them. But he had Abraham, and he told him to flee and get out of there. But you see, the heart of God. Getting our mind expanded to how great God is. You know, the faithful in the Old Testament we read about, they didn't see how big their problems were. They talked about how big God was. And their faith was in Him. You know, even these people that were surrounded by enemies. I mean, overwhelmed by armies all around them. And they didn't, look how big that army is and look how mean those are. That's what the faithless did. But those with faith looked out and said, my God's bigger than them. There's more of them that are with us than there is that are with them. The whole switch, that mind change of getting off of our problems and getting to see how big God is. Like I said, I think the part of this is just when we begin following the Lord, oftentimes our expectations and our thoughts are of one thing, and God leads us right down a different path. I read a book a few years ago that talked about going up to the mountain, and the man started to walk up the mountain, and the Lord said, no, you've got to go down this way, the opposite direction of what he thought. And he took him lower and lower and lower and lower. And he soon saw the water, you know, coming down, and it was just bubbling, going down the stream. It was just happy to find the lowest place. And he just kept winding around. Well, he went through all kinds of things and all kinds of things that changed. He wanted to go this way, and the Lord said this way. And he just kept going and going and going, and pretty soon he was up at the top of the mountain. It didn't get there the way he thought it was going to. And if he would have chosen his path, he would have never made it. But he was willing to follow the Lord. People deserted him. People tried to deceive him. People tried to get him all kinds of different directions. Friends betrayed him. But he just kept following the Lord. And that's basically what faith, that's a picture of what faith is and how it works. Faith is ultimately just trusting the Lord. We know that he died. The devils believe he died, but they tremble. Anyway, well, anyone have anything else you'd like to share?
I noticed something. It was interesting where Paul just seems like he doesn't have a big group.
Yeah.
He's got a small group, and his small group is actually getting smaller. And but he seems, you know, just intent on just keeping going.
Right.
You know, not giving up, and I was thinking about the Loy and EA, you know, and Reynosa, just real small group, but they're real faithful. They're just content to just keep going.
Amen.
And I just think that's real neat.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All right. Anyone have anything else to share? All right. Well, Lord willing, we'll meet back here at 6 o'clock. God bless y'all. Depart peace.